In 1 John again, that's where we left off, and as we was trying to tie this up, in 1 John chapter 2, as we was reading in verse 3, and we'll read again together, and hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. That's an interesting statement, think that to walk as Jesus walked. And we're being asked to from the scriptures to do so. So evidently it's attainable. And evidently from the disciples, what we learn of their lives, they did it. And I've seen other folks be just that effective as they're out in this world. And so, and that's what my whole lesson's been on, is fruit bearing, bearing fruit. And one of the number one aspects of fruit was love. And we looked at the love of God, who he is, and his love abiding in our hearts. And for that love to be seen of others, as we've seen in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So we know it's something folks see from us. They see it. They see something radiating from our lives. And it is the love of God manifesting himself through us. So as we look here together, and I'm going to read a few verses here look at verse 5. And whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Now I'm going over the same thing we went over last week real quick before I go any further to get our minds refreshed in what we heard. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk. Remember the word keepeth here is a watch to guard from loss or injury. And properly by keeping the eye upon. Is not that interesting? The word of God, keeping our eye upon. What better way do we do that? We read it, right? Amen. We read the word of God. That's keeping our eye upon it. And keeping is a continual process. So it's something we do every day. We keep our eye upon it. That this perfecting, as it says, that the love of God be perfected. And this word perfect means to complete, to accomplish, showing a high degree of skill and flair. So this love of God be perfected in our lives. And that's what God's trying to do, is perfect this stuff. Now, I'm going to ask questions here. How to think is to walk even as Jesus walked. Brother David, how did he walk? He's perfect. God help us. And we do that through the blood of Christ. Daily cleansing and getting in God's word. But how did he walk? What was his goal? As Jesus got up in the morning and took off walking, what did he do? He's about his father. What was his father's business? Seeking and to save that which was lost. And that's being committed to us. So what, if he was seeking and saved, which is not there, that'd be a motivation, not just obedience. Obedience is a good thing because we can be obedient and say, well, I need to go to church. I need to read the Word of God. I need to. Duty wears thin. It's like if I love my wife and I gotta love her. I gotta show I care. That wears thin after a while. If it's duty. But if there's a motive behind it of compassion that moved me to do it, it changes it, don't it? Yes. So behind Jesus, him just obeying his Father's will, he had what? He had compassion. Just look at some other scriptures here real quick. So he had that love that radiated through God, the Father, through Christ, as he looked upon people. The Bible says he was moved with compassion. And that's what I want to get on just for a little while here this morning, that God help us to be not see men as trees walking. We go by people all the time. We see folks here, we see folks there, and we just walk. It's like you see a drunk on the curb. Do you look at him and say, "Paul, that's disgusting. Paul, why don't you go to his home and do that?" You ever said that? I've had my moments. That was a bad one, but it did. Instead of look at him in compassion, say, "Man, that man needs Christ. Oh, God could do a work in him." See the difference? So it's real easy to condemn someone in their condition, but to have compassion or pity on someone. Being the kids at school, you look at them. So thank God I'm not like that. Or you could say, "Lord, help them. Man, they need you, Lord." Or you pity them. That's a compassion. And that's what this world is failing at, is they're looking at the church waiting to see something different from us, and we're failing, not showing compassion towards them. They're not seeing the love of God because all we're doing is condemning them, looking at their sin instead of looking at their soul, saying, "Boy, Jesus could do a work inside them." That's what I want to see. And that's what really God's been burning my heart here lately, is looking at folks, no matter who they are or what they are or what they're doing, look in and see their need and try to see as, how would Jesus see them? Because if we're to walk even as He walked, that's how He looked at them. He looked at them not just on the outside, He looked at the end. He could see the need on the inside. What was unique about Him? He could see what they're thinking. He noticed, even though the Pharisees was all buttoned up and looking proud and arrogant, but he could see right past them, know they're vipers and snakes, but he could see the others, the ones who was real, who really needed, had a need. And they was questioning, could this be the Messiah? Could this man truly help me? Let's look at I can read them just to save you time, but if you want to turn Matthew chapter 9, we'll look at a few places here. Hold your finger there if you won't. And as I looked and meditated on this, there's some things in here that popped out at me. Look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. We'll read 35 and read into it so we get a feel for what's happening here. Look at verse 35 with me. And God's word says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." He was a busy man. Now look at verse 36. "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." I believe when we see the multitudes, we need to see them as sheep having no shepherd. You ever see a sheep in the field? If it's away from the flock, it's in danger right off the bat. It's going to be the first one the wolves or the coyotes going to pick off and going to gobble up just as quick as they possibly can. So as this illustration, what do you see here as he speaks here? And when he, number one, he saw their need. We have a revival going on this week. We ought to see, if all times get people in the house of God, it is when people are praying and God's stirring and preachers are coming in and are seeking the mind of God. This is the best time to bring people into God's house. We need to see people and to see their need to bring them in. That's all of us. At Walmart, gas station, Speedway, being a mom, say, "Hey, we're in revival this week. You ought to come." That's taking the time to see. But this is our problem. We're so busy. We ain't got time to stop to see the need. We're running from here to point A to point B to point C. We have no time to stop to see nobody. We don't take time to stop to look upon somebody, to actually see if they have a need in the first place. We're running right by them. And if we hand them a track, it's quick. Hope God bless you. And zoom, and we're off out the door. We are so busy people. We try to accomplish 20 things in one day. We don't take time to see the multitudes around us. To take that time to see them. Jesus saw, if we're to walk as He walked, shouldn't we take the time to, oh Lord, help me see them. To ask ourselves. That's what moved Him. Look at the rest. And when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. This word compassion, I mean, to have your bowels yearn inside you. I'm going to give you an illustration, and Pastor's going to hate it. He's not a cat lover, but there's a cat hit on 25th Street up right by where we live, and it was laying in the road suffering. It was dying. It was trying to get up and couldn't. Sharon says, stop the car. So I stopped. I blocked traffic. She gets out and loves on this cat while it's suffering to let its passing be better, I reckon, or till somebody come. But as she sat there, she's seen the need of this cat dying and loved on it, petted it as it's sitting there dying till somebody come in and got it. And of course they, you know, euthanized it, give it a shot and put it out of its misery. But I thought, my goodness, if we could have that type of compassion when we see people. And you know when you look at them, when the ones that know God and ones that don't. You've got a good idea, right? As soon as you look at them. You got a picture in your mind. You picture who they are and you're already examining who they are. If you take the time to see. But Jesus, He seen them. At school, you guys take time to see. I mean, kids are reaching out everything under the sun. All the wrong things. And they need the Lord. But He saw the multitudes. And He was moved with compassion. That stirred me when I read it. And that's why it just stirs my insides. Because if you're saved, you have that same spirit that was in Christ then inside you right now. And it ought to stir you inside. And this is what I'd love to see this week, that God stir us enough to change the way we think. Not be as the Pharisees says, thank God I'm not as that one is. But be stirred enough to reach out with a kind word. Maybe a word of hope. Compassion. To walk as Jesus, even as He walked. To have your bowels yearn. Feel sympathy. To pity. Have to be moved with compassion. So I've seen that as Jesus walked, even as He walked. So, He saw the multitudes. He was moved with compassion because they fainted. We got people who are literally backing up Hillary Clinton. Those are people fainting by the wayside. They are blind, not just fainting. They're blind to not see through that and know that they're blind. They're running off a cliff and, oh, I'm gonna be fine and just walk off a cliff. These are people fainting that need help, a word of hope. And you can, I've seen one at Kroger's and as he's handing me meat and I said something, boy, I said, this country's in a mess, ain't it? Just curious where his head's at, you know? He goes, oh yes. I said, boy, we need to pray. And he goes, oh man. So and he said yes too. So there was the opportunity for me. But he said he's a believer. I said, you know Christ, your Lord? He goes, oh yeah. And I said, boy, we need to pray together. Wake up our brother and sister in Christ. We need to weep and wail for this country, that God wake up God's people. And he agreed, and so I was. This other stood by and listened. I didn't care, but the same moment I seen him and we had something in common, and it didn't take long to find it. Just by curiosity, where's your head at, you know? And in Jude, I'm going to move on here. In Jude, we see, you heard how the preacher got his church. Said, I want all the church next week to turn to Jude chapter 3, verse 23, and tell me what you read. Next week, come along and say, how many people did their exercise? Oh, a bunch of them raised their hand. I read Jude chapter 3, verse 23. There's no such thing. There's just verses. Let's look at Jude, verse 21, 22. The Bible says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some having compassion, making a difference. I want to make a difference. For Brandon, Kyla, all these prayer requests, make a difference. If you run into them, you have opportunity. But we need to see the multitudes that's all around them. And all of them has the same need. All of them has the same answer. I used to wear a hat and had two words on it. It said, Jesus saves. That's their answer. That's what they need. They need Christ. And to be looking to take time to see the multitudes. They're all around us all the time. Everywhere we go, there's always somebody to see. But to take the time to see it. And of some having compassion, making difference, and others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. We got that verse backwards. We hate the garments that are spotted. We hate the outside. We hate the long hair. We hate the earrings. We hate the tattoos. We hate all the outside, and we're not concerned about the inside. Do not we got that verse backwards? Amen. We all need help with that one. But first, they had compassion, making a difference, and others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire. But that compassion with fear, why did they fear? Because they feared where their soul was going. That they needed God, and without God, they have no hope. None. Zero. There is none other way. That's what ought to move us. And as the scripture said, even to walk even as he walked. Real quick, I'm going to read three verses here. In Matthew 14, 14, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them and healed their sick. In 15, 32, in the same book, then Jesus called his disciples and said, I have compassion on the multitude. Because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint away. Matthew 20, 34, so Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. This word compassion, I see where we fail. And you're looking at the chief of sinners here to walk by people and not see their need of Jesus. And I've asked the Lord, to help me to be purposeful in my life when I run into people to look for opportunities to arise or make an opportunity happen. And I think if you want it to happen, you will. You'll find a means and a way to open up an opportunity. Because people need the Lord. People need this revival this week. I believe God's going to do something this week unusually great. But it's going to take us to reach out, and as we see him, say, hey, you need to come to our church. What's going on? Tell them what's going on. We got three speakers coming in this week. Looking for God to come. They're God's mailman. Delivering the mail. Whatever God brings to us. So to have compassion, he saw the multitudes. He was moved. That takes time. You just can't run by people. That takes time to stop. That's what got me, brother. Taking the time to stop. We are so busy with everything else that don't matter. Souls matter. They matter to Christ. They matter to him. They ought to matter to us. That's the Great Commission. Heard that song last night, and I went, that was unique, wasn't it? Moved with compassion because he took time to see. Then he was not just saw, but then he was moved. It bothered him. It bothered him because they fainted and they were scattered as sheep having no shepherd. That means they can run right off a cliff without the shepherd. They need God. And we're it, folks. We're the minority, but that's all right. But we could make a difference. And some having compassion, making a difference. He wants to make a difference. I do. I want to make a difference. Not that I be seen, but oh, that He be seen. That Jesus be seen. That He be glorified. Not to get my name on a roll or put a sheet up here and say, look how many people I witnessed to. No, 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 no. Look how many God got to speak to. Yes, 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 yes. So let's pray. Father, as we come